Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, initial thoughts? Winnipeg Jets are like me in high school. Can't score.
How about that?
It's no laughing matter. Jets are in trouble. They're down 2-1. I predicted that they would win the series in 4. The Flames fans have reminded me that's clearly not happening.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Lynch, where are you going? We're live. We're on the air. It's hour 2 of the RP show.
My technical expertise.
You're going to help him. I appreciate that. We got a new guy, a new face in the bunker. It's not his debut. How are you doing, Les Lazarek?
I'm good, Rod Peterson.
Awesome.
Frenzy, good to see you, man.
Thank you.
Voice of the Saskatoon Blades joining us in the bunker. Unscheduled appearance, although we all are going golfing here this afternoon.
Yes, we are.
Looking forward to that very much. By the way, I guess this could be called breaking news as we lift the lid on hour 2. Mm. Delvin Bro tweeting this morning, in all caps, CFL told us to start looking for jobs in the offseason. That's God telling me it's my time. So if you all know any marketing branding agencies in the United States, want to work with a hardworking, God-fearing king to make some moves, can't keep sitting on my ass. CFL told us to start looking for jobs in offseason. We are currently technically in the offseason, are we not? I'm taking that as the CFL has told us players to start looking for jobs. I'm taking that as them saying there's no season. Lynch, right. Your jaw just hit the floor. Yeah. So what do you think about that news?
Who's that from?
Delvin Bro, star corner of the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
I'd say that's it right there. Enough said.
I unfortunately have to agree. So are we going to get Les's take on all these things? But Jordan, let's re-up on the Quick 6 show topics, okay? Just what we're talking about today. Number one, Stanley Cup playoffs. Hashtag no lead is safe. CFL's not using it. NHL's taking it. Point two, Dupes was the rock star of the day on Thursday. He had the scoop of the dub coming back December the 4th. He had a lot of hot takes. And he correctly predicted that the CFL would take option 3, and that is not give us an update on the season yesterday. Point three, the CFL Board of Governors met Thursday. I'm a little insulted they think that we're this dumb that they're going to play. That's all I got to say on that. Point four, the MLSC plan. How do you envision it working? I mentioned that with Darren. I like it. Everybody seems to like it. Point five, 66 NFL players have opted out. Are they deserving of the backlash that they're getting? The obvious question is no. That's a rhetorical question. They should be able to do whatever they feel is right. The backlash they're getting is sickening. And point six is a two-pointer. Kings Park Speedway. I got my racing shirt on today. The Invitational's tomorrow night. 70-plus cars from all across the prairies. We'll see you at Kings Park Motor Speedway. And one more time for Jess Mosca, Luke, last night. I got to say it, Les, you play her on your wonderful radio station. Country music star. Can we put up the photo one more time, please? There, Jess Mosca, Luke, rocking last night. Krugo Fest. They set up a stage on the roof of a parkade. And they sold all the balconies on the north side of the Doubletree Hotel. So we were all hanging off our balconies. I think it was close to a sellout. And she lost her composure. She had to leave the stage. She was crying for the support from the country fans that came out to support the entertainment industry in a very tough time. They had not performed together since December.
Wow.
She was just overtaken by emotion.
I love the creativity of doing that, to go and take on a roof and then have it available to people all around. I think that's wonderful. That's what you got to do in this pandemic time, is find different ways to get your product out to consumers. And that's a great way of doing it.
I was sitting on the balcony last night with our friends from Bronco Plumbing and Heating thinking, this started with an idea. This is pretty, like, some guy thought, you know, we could put a stage here and the whole side of the hotel could be on their balcony watching. And then it happened. What a feeling that must have been.
Well, it's just taking off from what you'd have at Wrigley Field in Chicago, where you've got people in behind the outfield being able to sit on their decks or sit on the balconies or whatever the case may be and look into the ballpark and watch the Cubs play. I mean, they're actually doing that while the Cubs are playing now. They're selling seats up in those areas in order for people to go and watch. And why not?
Couple minutes here before we bring in Mighty Mouth Bryn Griffiths. Les, you are the GOAT of WHL broadcasters. How did you take the news that the Dub now targeting December 4th as a start date? And for that matter, OHL and Q2.
Not surprised, because there had been three contingencies that I had heard about way back when the WHL had first talked about starting October 2nd. October 2nd was going to get going. They were going to take the first couple of weeks of the season, tack them on to the end, play playoffs after that, and just have the regular schedule as they had. The second contingency was to start October 2nd, depending again on COVID restrictions and government restrictions and all the rest of that, but start only within the first couple of months within your division only. and then see where things were at, and then see if you could incorporate the rest of the divisions into playing against one another. Otherwise, you might be playing within your division or within your conference at the very least for the entire season. And now the third one, which is starting to happen, and there's going to be more contingencies coming out as a result of this delay, but starting December the 4th, and I think it's what's going to happen, is you're going to see a couple of months worth of within the division play only. Maybe intra-conference in the Eastern Conference, because, let's face it, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, in much better shape with regards to the virus, and we also don't have nightly protests happening as they are, unfortunately, in places like Portland and Seattle. BC, Dr. Bonnie Henry, she's doing the right thing, as far as I'm concerned, being the
walking
chief medical
everything
health
down.
Officer. Walking everything down. I mean, yeah. She's not allowing anything as far as an outdoor gathering or an indoor gathering of very many people. And for now, that's probably the right thing to do. Putting a hard date on it might be a little bit excessive. I think you've got to have a little bit of leeway on this, and I think that's what the Western Hockey League's trying to work with in order to get that December 4th happening in BC. I know in Kelowna, Bruce Hamilton, who's the chairman of the board and is as staunch a guy as there is in the Western Hockey League, absolutely needs to have, in his mind, at least a 50% capacity in order to get started in Kelowna, and that's what the hard and fast WHL rule is. Need to have 50% capacity in order to start playing.
But that's
in the Western
not going to happen based on those rules, though.
Not right now, no. It's hard to imagine. But again, that's now 4 months away, not 2 months away, as we were looking at earlier this week.
How about the fans in Saskatoon? How do they feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think they're looking around, just like everybody's fans are looking around and seeing that you've got sports going on in the NHL, which is working phenomenally well. The NBA, working phenomenally well. Major League Baseball, which is a dumpster fire, unfortunately, with all the COVID-19 and traveling around, which that's just stupidity on the part of Rob Manfred and the owners for wanting to try and play in home stadiums. But they're looking at those things and they're saying, okay, well, what about you guys? Are you going to start playing? And it comes back to what you believe, Rod, and what I believe is that you can't miss out. You have to somehow find a way to play, because out of sight, out of mind, John. If you don't play, people are going to forget you. They're going to find a way to all of a sudden, I've got money. I can do other things. And as soon as you're allowed to do other things, you forget about the things that you used to do, and you may be missing out. You may not be able to get those people back, as your great example, the 1994 Major League Baseball season.
Well, it was a viewer's, not mine, but I've been saying all along that the CFL can't afford to miss a season, but I don't think they're going to play. So they're going to have to deal with the wreckage after that.
Yeah.
Paul Figler's still hanging with us today from Dub Network. He's yours and my boss.
Yes,
there.
Yes, he is.
At dubnetwork.ca. I just love that website, dubnetwork.ca. Les covers the Blades. I cover the Pats and Warriors. But you let me know when Mighty Mouth's ready, because I can go on with Les and Lynch forever.
Yeah.
I did take a little umbrage with your column, and I mentioned it on the air, that you said the return to play is all about money. And maybe I misread what you were saying there. Because I don't think it's all about money. I think it's about getting people back to work, getting kids on the ice and on the field and on the diamond.
There's definitely that component to it, but don't think that there isn't a big money component involved as well.
Well, there always is.
Of course there is, and I think that's the key thing, though, is ultimately how do you find a way to make sure that we are getting something out of it? The business models have to be sustainable, and if you aren't not able to make it happen, then it's a loss, and that's why I think you have to be able to get back to playing in order to keep your business going. I don't think being idle allows you to do a good job for your business eventually down the road.
The old-timer told me after World War II in 44, they closed up for 45 to try to get things resurrected again, shut things down, didn't get things going again until 49.
Yeah, well,
5 years.
Yeah. 5 years, yeah.
Lynch, throw your headphones in, because we're bringing in our good and longtime friend, Bryn Griffiths, Mighty Mouth from Edmonton, joining us today. Who has been the battle of his life, and he's come out a winner, a champion. How you doing, Bryn?
I'm doing pretty good. You guys?
Good. Well, who cares about us? Everybody's just happy to see that you're on the air with us today. Do you want to jump immediately into sports? You're probably sick of talking about your health.
Yeah, it's been a crazy 7 months health-wise. There's no denying that. But we can talk about that if we have time.
Yeah, well, whatever you want to talk about. But This.
Okay, let's.
Well, you were an Oilers employee. You've done sports talk in Edmonton and Calgary, former Moose Jaw Warriors broadcaster. So you've been in and out of sports your whole life, in and around sports your whole life. Is the return to play all about money, or is it what I'm saying? It's just stimulating the economy and getting back playing.
I think the answer is yes. to both. I do not believe that they one, they got to get the game back going again. There's no denying that, because as I just heard you guys talking about, you got to start somewhere. These guys have actually embarrassed the other leagues, I think, in terms of how they've done this and how they've rolled this out. Everything I've heard out of both the bubble here in Edmonton and the bubble out of Toronto has been spectacular. Somebody is going to bitch, whine, and complain about the food or whatever. But you know what? There's a lot of guys in that bubble. So I would expect to hear something like that. I've heard nothing. They have done a great job. They still, at last report, I haven't heard a thing about any positive testing. Now, they could be just, you know, covering that up or whatever. But when I look at how baseball's done things, oh my God, I just can't believe I'm shocked they're still running. The NBA, somebody is going to continue to leave the bubble to go look for fun somewhere. But for the most part, the NBA's done okay. But I think the National Hockey League has actually led the way in how to do this. So, yes, is it all about money? There's no denying it's all about money. The other thing, though, is that if you just let the leagues go too long without restarting, and all we got to do is take a look at the Canadian Football League. If I cannot tell you how scared I am if they don't have a season this year, that this league's not coming back. So I think it's a bit of both. I really believe it's a bit of both, because I just don't. If the league goes down, the CFL goes down this year, it ain't coming back, in my opinion.
I agree. And by the way, from some of our viewers, Rachel Dom Tassoni says, nice to hear your voice again. Get back on the air in YEG soon. And similar to that, Nelson Hakowich, our VP of Sim Events, says Bryn's audio and video setup is amazing. So maybe we should just stop for a minute and say what you're doing, Bryn, on Twitch. You got all the best technical gear and you're doing your own show. It's very similar to what we're doing. So we might as well pump that where people can get your opinions. Sure.
Well, you know what? A good friend of ours, Don Collins, who is a longtime program director at The Fan in Toronto, had asked me about going on Twitch every Monday through Friday for a couple of hours to do like a sports show or just a general show. It's not like I haven't been through enough over the last 7 months where I can't talk about pretty much anything, even politics, which I don't want to do. But I held off for a little bit, and actually it's ended up being a good thing. But I'm really serious thinking about getting going on Twitch, which is really, it started out as a gaming channel. But when I told the 25-year-old and the 13-year-old in our house that I had a Twitch channel, they were vibrating. They couldn't believe it. I had never heard of Twitch. I thought it was something that I just, you know, I'd be sitting there watching television and I'd just kind of do one of those. but the reach on Twitch is over 110 million people. And, you know, Rod, what we have done here over the last year, and you've done a great job with your show, is we found new ways to reinvent ourselves. Radio is still a huge part of my life, and I still love, I love what radio has given me and can still do for me, but it's not the end-all be-all anymore. There's other ways of getting your message out. So I'm looking at restarting up the Twitch channel coming up very, very soon. But I've been battling cancer for the last 7 months. As you can see, at this time last year, I was 273 pounds, a dangerous 273 pounds. My doctor and I were concerned about my ticker. Now I'm 147 pounds. And we removed my entire stomach. And I had a scan done 3 weeks ago at the Cross Cancer Institute in Edmonton. And they can't find cancer anywhere. Now, we all know cancer, unfortunately, because it touches so many of us. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really finding is that when cancer touches your life in some way, as much, I'm not a believer in hearing that people are cancer free. I just think we have a way of battling it better and we find it faster. I think we've got more ways of dealing with it. I think once you've been touched a little bit on the shoulder by cancer, you've got to always be ready for the third act of the play coming along. But for me, I feel really good right now, and for me, it's going to be back to doing corporate podcasting work, and Robin Brownlee and I do a sports podcast once a week, which we're going to be restarting up in a little while, so I think I've come through this pretty well, and I'm just happy to be on. The last time I was on with you was in January, I think, and I had just got my diagnosis. I had a wonderful conversation with Dale Hawerchuk, and that was set up by Darren Drager. And talking with Dale, who went through basically, he had his entire stomach removed and a bit of his esophagus. It really hurt me deeply a couple weeks ago when I heard that he was still having some issues and some problems, and now it's probably he's in a tougher battle now. By the sounds of it, I've reached out to Eric and the family a little bit. But the discussion I had with Dale was about 3 or 4 days before I went in for my surgery, which completely took my stomach out of play. I now go from my esophagus, direct connection right to my my small intestine, so I have no stomach anymore. But Dale's pep talk to me absolutely got me through a very difficult 6 weeks where I couldn't even see my family. I had a chest infection that just about took me down. And now here I am today back with you guys, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, nor could we, by the way. But Arlene in Ottawa is watching. Marlene Mongovia, she says, best news of the day, Bryn, from a 16-year survivor. And I've had it in my family, so I know too much about, you know, what you're going through, having it touch my family terribly. So I know the fact that you getting back on the air and doing what you do is probably going to be the most important thing. And Craig Smith writing in, he's had his battles, our director of scouting. So obviously you've joined a community, Bryn, that's incredibly strong and incredibly positive.
And one other thing, Rod, too, and then we can talk a little sports because it's fun, more fun. The one thing that is blowing me away here is the support has come from everywhere, not just media people, not just sports people or athletes. It's just what you find out is you find out, like I always remember somebody said to me, when you're going through tough times, you'll be surprised by who you hear from and you'll be shocked on who you don't hear from. And that's not a negative on the people you don't hear from. It's just everybody deals with something like cancer so totally different. Some people want to get in there and help you fight it, and some people just they don't know what to say. And I totally understand it, but I've just been blown away by the response from everybody, and so many people from Saskatchewan, so many people from Calgary, Vancouver, Toronto. What we don't understand is we don't understand the big swath we cut, to use a Saskatchewan expression, I guess.
Love it.
we just don't really understand how much of an impact we can make on people's lives. And it's from a simple, ran into a guy at a shopping center here, a grocery store, longtime listener. And all he could say was, he said, you know, you were part of my breakfast table with my wife and my kids every day. And we tend to forget that. We just, you know, when we open up our microphones and we talk about sports or whatever we're talking about, I think we so often forget that, that people are bringing us into their lives. We're part of their family. And so I when you're going through a tough time and just getting some of the responses from a lot of your people, it's overwhelming. It's just numbing.
Well, it feels good. I know. And, so keep it up, my friend. And,
thank you.
We'll make this a regular thing. Obviously, we're all going to work together on that Twitch thing and what we're doing here. It's going to be great. You're an incredibly talented guy. What do you list as your hometown, by the way? Because I never knew that.
Wow. Well, I grew up in Edmonton, but I spent 5 years in Moose Jaw, which I love. I still love the city. Yeah, no, you know why? Because people gave a crap about you. And when you're doing... when you're doing the play-by-play for the hockey team, well, you know what it's like. Mm-hmm. Or the Riders, that's what they live for. So, you couldn't go on a date or you couldn't go out into town without somebody wanting just a little bit of your time. And so I really enjoyed my time in Moose Jaw. I really enjoyed my 2 years in Winnipeg where I was working with the Jets and on the Jet broadcast with Kurt Kielbach. My time in Calgary was absolutely fantastic with Pat Steinberg and Kelly Kirsch and everybody. But for the most part, I've plied my trade in Edmonton. And I got to work with Brian Hall, and I actually got a word in edgewise.
I don't believe it. I never heard that.
No. I got to tell you one story, because he always used to refer to Louis Pisaglia as Louis Pisaia.
Like it was lasagna, and,
yeah. And you know what's funny is that I was going down to tape interviews with Wally and Lou, and I asked Lou, off the record, no microphone or anything, and now it's going to be on the record again. But I said, hey, Louis, I got to ask you about Halsey's pronunciation of your name. He keeps calling you Louis Pisaia, not Pisaglia, like all of the rest of us. And he's realized that I wasn't recording the conversation at all. And he says, well, you know, Halsey's right, but I'd never want to tell him that. And my mom would be very proud that he calls that G is silent, like in lasagna. He said, but once it gets out there and you become Louis Pisaglia or Craig Berube when it's Burby, you can't stop that.
Well, you actually can, but I didn't know that story, man. I did not. Oh, I got to wring Louis' neck. I look at him every day. Look. Yeah. He's right here. I got my Louis Pisaglia little doll.
Yeah.
So
it was now I don't know if
you
tell
me?
Snowing me. I don't know if he was snowing me or just wanted me to feel bad or he just wanted to give Halsey a little bit of credit or whatever, but Brian is truly an amazing guy. And every market's got one or two guys that are legendary and have gone on and done unbelievable things. I mean, I can't think of too many markets where I haven't run across people where I go, wow, that guy was pretty amazing. Hey, you know, the guy that I loved in Regina, and I loved all you guys, Bob Hughes and I had a fun relationship, I got to tell you.
Everybody
did. For being his,
except the riders.
Bob was so crusty until you called his bluff. And then, John and everybody, you guys know.
We all know it, yeah.
Every market's got somebody like that. And I just, I've been fortunate enough to move around Western Canada. I would have liked to have worked in Vancouver a little bit, but I've always been a gypsy. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. That's not a politically correct word anymore. I've always been a traveler. I've always gone to a market that I thought I would have a little bit of fun at. The Warrior play-by-play thing was a great break for me. And I really enjoyed it. I've never wanted to stay in the same place too long. I've always wanted to go and see what the world was all about. So I've been really lucky. And you know what? When you're going through a battle with cancer, and like I said, the six weeks with not seeing family or being able to have somebody touch your hand or whatever while you're going through it with the COVID stuff is as dark as it's ever been for me. But you reflect back on a lot of wonderful things and wonderful people. And I don't think there's too much left that I haven't been able to do that I would say, gee, I wish I had done that. My bucket list is almost complete. There's just about two or three things left.
Okay, well, we'll bring you back on to talk about them. 6 weeks, man, I wouldn't want to do 6 minutes. So you'll never go through anything worse than this, Brent. Look, we got to go. Two last things. One, are the Oilers winning today?
I think they're winning today. I think they're losing the series. I hated the matchup right from the get-go. Chicago's not a great team, but they do one thing exceptionally well. They're great off the rush 5-on-5. I think they're a top three team in the National Hockey League. The one thing the Oilers are really lousy at is defending 5-on-5. They're one of the bottom three teams. So this matchup was a bad one right from the get-go. And the other problem is that I've always believed in the playoffs that it's goaltending, and it's your bottom six forwards. And the Oilers aren't getting enough out of their bottom six forwards. I keep making the joke that Zach Kassian's got to get into the lineup one of these games, who's been in the lineup for the previous three games. He's got to do more. Those bottom six guys have got to do more if they've got a shot at it. But we'll see. I'm pretty optimistic tonight because I just think that Connor and Leon won't let that happen, but they need better support right now. Calgary's getting it. Calgary's got nice, solid goaltending from Cam Talbot, and their bottom six guys are really playing well. And I'm not surprised to see Calgary moving on. It's a shame what happened to Winnipeg injury-wise, but you know what? That's the playoffs, baby.
Okay, Brent, let's hear it.
Okay, guys, I'm happy to say that the last time I said it to you, I didn't mean it for
literally.
But that's it for me. I will talk again, and I'm out of here.
Gotcha. His classic sign-off.
Salute.
Thanks, Bryn. Bryn Griffiths, Mighty Mouth from Edmonton. We'll be back with Tommy Europe. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody, on this Football Friday. A true treat coming up. Tom Europe. When I say the name Tom Europe, what do you think? I know Les Lazarus with me. He's had a fantastic safety.
Yes.
Right? Well, there's a lot of things. You go to his Wikipedia. Tom Europe is a Canadian actor, stuntman, professional trainer, and former pro football Canadian defensive back who played 11 seasons in the CFL. We're bringing him in now from Vancouver on video chat, right on schedule. Tom Europe, how you doing, my man? You're looking great out there. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Good. I got to get this right out of the way first. Mike Abou-Meshrick is viewing, said to say hi. You and Abou spent some good time together, played in the Grey Cup together.
We sure did. Grey Cup and had a lot of good times. Abou's a good man.
He is a super guy. He's one of our regular panelists, just not with us today. Tom, I'm just going to go right after it. The state of the CFL right now. You're in a CFL market in Vancouver. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing play out right now?
It's kind of hard to describe. I mean, you're hearing so many different conflicting reports of, you know, is the season going on? Is it not going? Is the bubble, where's the bubble going to be? Is it going to be in Winnipeg, Saskatchewan? There's still so many unknowns. And I think dealing with, you know, trying to get some funding from the government is probably holding a lot of that stuff up. And then, you know, from the player standpoint, it's crazy because, you know, as a player, you're prepping for camp, and you know that was supposed to be in June, and now it's you don't really know when it's going to be. So it really puts it makes training pretty difficult because you don't know when you're peaking for.
Well, you're training athletes now, and of course you're on Slice TV with a couple of shows. But you're a businessman too. Let me ask you this: are you looking at CFL business going, if you just did this, you'd be okay? Like, if you could tell them anything, what would it be?
They just have to be consistent. I mean, the product is really good. I think the marketing has gotten, you know, so much better. The fans can relate with the players a lot more through social media and, you know, getting the players out into the communities of their various cities that they're playing in. So I think that is all going well. I think it's just, they just have to be consistent, put a consistent message out there. Obviously, COVID has, you know, thrown everything in flux, so it's not just the CFL. But from the business side, I guess getting, you know, finances in order and just making it fair for everybody. You know, it's a great league. I had an amazing experience in my 11 years playing in the league. I still follow it. My brother played for a few years, Matt Buckner, in the CFL also. So I still have lots of love for it. And, you know, when and if it comes back on again, I'll be watching.
We all will. There's no doubt. And by the way, I got a Bomber fan sitting with me, Les Lazarek. And we were talking about you before. I said Tommy was an assassin, just an absolute killer out there. Go ahead, Les.
Well, and that leads me to the question. Tom, everybody likes to talk about how your careers have evolved, how the game has evolved. In my case, I've been in sports media for 40 years, and people always ask, well, how have things changed in the course of time since 1980 to 2020? You as a safety, back then, there was no doubt what you were. You were either a ball hawk in center field, or you came up and you stuck guys trying to come out of the backfield. Nowadays, it seems like if you're a safety or an outside linebacker or a Sam linebacker or a Will linebacker, you're almost interchangeable. Do you find that that's kind of the way the position has evolved?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're right on fact. You know, I mean, I loved hitting. I loved that aspect of the game. And, you know, my teammates loved me for it because the DBs knew that if a ball was in the air, they didn't have to worry about me going after the ball. That was going to take the guy out.
That's right.
So I think I added another 20 interceptions to Les Brown's career. but yeah, no, it's definitely changed. The safety play, my style of play, they're now more linebackers. So definitely playing a Sam or a Will and coming up into the box and being able to cover, whether it's a back or another receiver. So definitely have to be versatile. The game has changed. The athletes are, you know, a bit bigger, a bit faster, a bit stronger. The training is a lot better. And, you know, even though the CFL says there's no official link to concussions and everything like that, you know, I think we pave the groundwork for all these guys that, you know, only get to hit 3 times a year in practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that, Tom? I mean, the idea that there's only going to be hitting 3 times in a practice during the course of a season. Right? Wrong? Are you indifferent to that sort of thinking?
You know, I understand both sides. Obviously, it was a different time and age in the generation that I played, and definitely the ones before that, where, you know, hitting and full pads, that was an everyday thing. You know, if you're in helmet and shoulder pads, we were celebrating, we were happy because, you know, you weren't going to be doing that much hitting. So definitely, I think it's taking as much of it out of practices and things like that definitely pays dividends for the long-term health of every single player. But on the flip side, it does kind of make the play on defense especially kind of sloppy, because if you're not tackling and you're not used to tackling all the time, you can't really be expected in a game to just come and turn it on for most people. And I think that's what you see with a lot of the big plays. And I guess that's what they want. They want to see more of an offensive explosion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's pretty easy to do when you're not allowed to hit or you know, even do thud in practice half the time.
To our to your post-career stuff, we'll probably come back to the CFL era, but Alan, our intern, writes in, and he says, hey, Mr. Europe, you can tell he's young, Tom. He says, I was wondering, how was it to work with John Cena? And also, how was your time as Michael J. White's stunt double on Arrow as the Bronze Tiger? That's all Greek to me. I don't even know what that means. Explain what you're doing in the movie business.
Well, I am an actor and a stunt performer, and have been pretty much since I retired in 2000, after 2003 season, as well as the fitness business and fitness industry as a trainer. So I've been kind of doing the two of them for the last, 15 years. John Cena, I did a movie. I was in a movie called Playing with Fire. So I got to work with him, Keegan-Michael Key, John Leguizamo. So that was awesome. That was probably the one of the funniest shoots I've ever worked on, because Keegan and John are Keegan and Keegan's hilarious. And then John Cena, he's just a stand-up guy. Kind of what you see is what you get. He's definitely an action star and committed to his craft. So that was a lot of fun to work with. And, Michael Jai White, working on Arrow years ago. I was his stunt double as Bronze Tiger. And that was a lot of fun, because anytime you can work with people that you've, looked up to and idolized, and Spawn was a huge movie for me when I was younger. And then working with Michael, and he's an amazing guy. Lots of, great advice, great tips. Showed me how to do a proper front kick, so I don't break my toes. Not a bad guy to learn from. So that part of the industry is awesome. It's new experiences. And for me, it's very much like football, because it's a team atmosphere. You're relying on other people on the team, whether they're riggers, coordinators, or other performers, to do their job. And it's just like football. So for me, it's just repeating, rinse and repeat. And, it's anytime you get to do stuff that you love to do, it's never a bad thing.
Good for you. What was that movie, Les, that Burt Reynolds played a stuntman? He was hurt. Maybe you remember, Tom.
Cannonball Run or something?
What was it?
It was a Cannonball Run?
There was Cannonball Run he was in, but he played a stuntman in a movie, and he was always had broken bones and everything. Like, you compare it to football, what was the more physical career, stuntman or pro football player?
Hands down, pro football. Stunts it's intense. And when you're not always, going through walls or falling down stairs or being set on fire. A lot of times it can be just falling or things like, simple things that are simple to us. Cause we do it all the time, but your big gags are your big gags. And those are kind of like your games where you're super focused. But, with football, that was day in, day out, hitting, as I said, we hit every single day. And, I just turned 50. So I think you can remember in when I played through 93 till 2003, there was a stretch of games in the CFL that every team went through where you played 3 games in 9 days.
Explain that one to me. I remember being 50.
Oh, yeah. The 3 games in 9 days, remember, too. Hooper.
Yes.
Was the movie. Have you heard of it, Tom?
Hooper, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you haven't seen it, you got to go see it.
The reason why he's more, with regards to football over stunt is because you actually hit somebody. There are some defensive backs out there who try to avoid contact, and yet they're trying to play defense. It's amazing how that works sometimes, not just in the CFL, even in the NFL. Touch somebody, for heaven's sake, when they go to the turf. This is the thing that drives me crazy. You have to touch a guy down, and guys jump out of the way, and then they're getting up and running in for a touchdown. It's like, what are you doing? The guy.
But I think the difference too, just and as we're saying, with the lack of hitting in practice, lose some of that intensity. Lose some of that practice. We're playing the CFL, and I remember when Jeff Reinbold was one of our coaches, Jeff and Joe Pow, and on the defense, because just let's face it, your defense is going to be is you're going to win or lose based on your defense and how they perform. So they would have different drills going from sideline to sideline, and every single player had to put hands on the ball carrier. And I think that's what you kind of lose. There's some guys who are, outstanding, and they're ball hawks, and they're just flying all over the field, but it does not go across those 12 men that are on the field. And, all you need is one gap. You're as strong as your weakest link. And, if your last guy can't run and, touch somebody or tackle somebody, you're not going to do very, very well.
We have a magician watching the show, Richie Roy, friend of mine. He says, right when I thought Tommy Europe was the coolest name ever, you pull out Bronze Tiger. And I have to be honest with you, I think I need to reevaluate my life, because I remember Tom not from playing, well, from playing, but also from Bulging Brides. That's where I've seen. What am I watching that you guys aren't watching? There's something wrong with that. Tom, lastly, I just want your take on the National Football League. I believe that if the NBA is playing and the NHL is playing, and even MLB without bubbles, that the NFL will play, that they will find a way. We're a month away from kicking off the season. What's your take on the NFL in 2020?
I think they're definitely going to play. We'll see what happens through the states and through the world with this whole COVID, tragedy, really. But I think they're going to play. They're all in camps now. If anybody has, a handle on controlling players and making sure they can't do anything or go anywhere, it's definitely the NFL. So while these players are in their bubbles and things like that, there's so much at stake. I mean, for guys that, and I was a go-out guy when I played, so I definitely understand that. But, the stakes, we didn't have this kind of things that were going on. But with the stakes being so high, for anyone to be irresponsible and, go outside of their team and or that bubble or however it's kind of set up, is selfish, it can kill people because people are dying. Lots of, way too many people are dying. So people just have to be safe. And, they say the simple precautions, washing your hands and staying away from things. So I think the NFL is going to be hyper vigilant of keeping their players kind of contained and, away from the usual distractions that happen from, season to season in any sport, really. So I'm looking forward to it and apprehensive. And I definitely understand those players that didn't want to report because, if you do have health issues or you have, COVID has touched you in a negative way where some, one of your family members have died, how can that not affect you? And how can that not make you pull back and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out and, wait till everything is in the clear before I go back. So I understand both angles, and I think fans are ready. Fans are ready. You look at basketball and hockey. It is going pretty well considering there's no fans in there because they can do different things with the noise and obviously the TV contract. So they can jazz it up quite a bit.
Tom, you're a class act, CFL great. You, sir, had swagger before they even talked about it in Winnipeg. Yeah. That's the truth. That's what I remember about you. Tom,
Swaggerville, baby. Swaggerville.
Swaggerville, exactly. Yeah, Swaggerville. But you were Swagger before that was Swaggerville. Stay in touch, please, Tom. Good catching up with you, man. Glad to see everything's going so great.
Likewise, and thanks talking to you guys all. Everybody be safe, be sound, and hey, let's go CFL soon.
That's right. We got it. The great Tom Yerb joining us from Vancouver today. Les and I will return after this break. We're going to load them up. Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. That is 840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. Twitter feeds open, Facebook Live wall. And we'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Surfing Twitter here, chatting with my old pal Les Lazarek. Tom, you really got into some things at the end there that you and I can delve into.
Yep.
But just a pause on the CFL for a minute. We're talking about Winnipeg. Les is from Winnipeg. He was a Jets broadcaster for years, right?
And a couple years.
And I was saying how I was on the Winnipeg Ice podcast yesterday and how we got to play CFL football. I've worked so hard to worm my way into the good graces of Winnipeggers. They don't like me. They just don't hate me anymore. And I'll take that as a win.
Absolutely.
And Winnipeg, they don't want to be snowed. I took the Jets to win because I thought they were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You did too.
I thought they would win. I thought the advantage that they had right off the hop rod was the fact that Travis Hamonic opted not to play on defense for the Flames. And good for him. I mean, again, same thing like Tommy Europe was saying about the 66 NFLers that have opted out. If they have a concern about health anywhere with regards to the family or themselves, whatever the case may be, opting out is the right thing to do. But I thought losing Travis Hamonic would be a big advantage to the Jets' offense, and they'd be able to do some things in the Calgary zone. Plus, I was surprised to see Cam Talbot in goal. Well, joke's on me and joke's on the Jets fans, because obviously Cam Talbot was a much better choice than David Riddick. I wouldn't say he was Mika Kiprusoff necessarily, but he had his Kiprusoff moments. Meanwhile, the loss of Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine, others on the blue line, didn't help the Jets. It overcame for the Flames the defensive loss of Hamonic. And to their credit, they played a much better team game than what the Jets were able to over the course of four games. And hence, they're moving on to the round of 16, and the Jets now are in contention for Alexis Lafreniere, and wouldn't that be something?
Well, for their sake, I hope so.
But I love that.
I got sucked into the hype of the Jets or whatever, because I grew up an Oilers fan, but my Winnipeg friends are saying, you really got to watch the Jets, man. They're exciting to play or to watch. And I watched them, and they are. Mm-hmm. It's a track race. Now, yeah, Scheifele and Laine out sucked. They weren't going to win a series that way.
No.
Right?
Absolutely.
But I thought they were going to win. I don't like Calgary. It would be nice if we all got along. It's just not going to happen, and that's fine too. Flames, Stampeders, whatever. It affects me picking series. That's how much I dislike Calgary. And I know there are people that think that we should all get along. It's just not feasible, and that's fine. There's always got to be a villain. There's always got to be a good guy, and in this scenario, I'm the good guy. Okay, that's our scenario.
Yep.
Calgary's not, and I don't really feel guilty about it at all. But you said you have your villain.
Absolutely, I have my villain. My villain is Edmonton. I'm a Winnipeg guy originally, and so the Oilers and the Eskimos growing up were always the villains. The Eskimos really had it over the Blue Bombers for many years, late 70s, early 80s. It seems like they always had quarterbacks coming along and through the system who were phenomenal. The combination of Tom Wilkinson and Bruce Limmerman in the late 70s moved into Wilkinson and Warren Moon, the great Warren Moon, and that run of five Grey Cups from 1978 through 1982. That moved on into Matt Dunnigan, into Damon Allen, into Tracy Hamm, etc., etc. The Eskimos always seemed to have a top-notch quarterback that the Blue Bombers didn't always have.
And the Oilers flattened the Jets every time.
Well, in the NHL days. Back in the WHA days, that wasn't the case. It was the other way around, because the Jets had the Hull, Hedberg, Nielsen line, and you know they were able to win AFCO Cups, and people go, what the heck's the AFCO Cup, and what the heck is the whole idea of the World Hockey Association? Trust me, back in the 70s when I grew up, when I was a teenager, that was it. I didn't care about the National Hockey League because Montreal was winning too much, and that's another city I hate, or at least the team that I hate, the Habs. I love the Expos, so there's the incongruity of that, but I hated the Habs. I hate the Oilers. And to see those teams lose just warms my heart. I picked Chicago to win over the Oilers in five games. I like my chances of doing so. I like what Bryn Griffith says. He thinks that the Oilers will win tonight but lose the series. I'm right there with him.
And you're okay with that?
And I'm very okay
with
that.
But see, that's the point, by the way. Jeff, the Stamps fan, writes it. He says, Rod is admitting he's biased. Thanks for the honesty. Well, you're going to get honesty here every day.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for friends. I have enough friends. Trust me. I've tried to make it work with Calgary. And in some ways, they've tried to make it work. It's just not going to happen. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
You know, what I don't understand is, though, when I say the same types of things that you say or Bob Irving, I get, like, flamed. But you seem to be able to get away with them. I don't understand why. You said, suck it, PA.
Yes, I did. Well, they PA people don't like me. That much.
How
I
did
know.
That go over?
Like a lead balloon in Prince Albert with the Raider fans. Hey, that's fine.
It's real.
Yeah, sure. Did you go to Winnipeg Whips games? Of course I did. Yes, Craig. Of course I did.
That's our director of scouting, Craig
Smith.
That's
right. And I have never met Craig. I want to do that one day somewhere along the line. The next time in Regina, hopefully we can arrange that. But Winnipeg Whips games, just for the sake of people who maybe don't understand. 1970, Montreal Expos started their season with the Buffalo Bisons as their AAA team. If you go on Twitter, there's a Winnipeg Whips Twitter page going on. And they go day by day with what the team did in 1970 when they moved. Phenomenal. Fact that the Bisons were losing money. They weren't drawing well. They moved because of relationships between the Expos owners and people in Winnipeg. The Expos franchise, AAA franchise, moved from Buffalo, New York, to Winnipeg, Manitoba, played in the International League. So all the teams were on the Eastern Seaboard. And the Expos had to defray the cost of travel for all those other teams in and out of Winnipeg. It was great, though. I used to go. There was a pony night where there were 15,000 people in the old Winnipeg Stadium. The old Winnipeg Stadium had a baseball diamond in the southwest corner with a movable left field fence.
Doesn't seem big enough.
Oh, it is big enough.
Old football stadium. Yeah, I was thinking Winnipeg Arena.
No, The old football stadium with a movable left field fence. Depending on who was coming in, if their right-handed hitting group was really strong, the fence that said 315 was maybe more like 350. If it wasn't a big left-handed hitting team, the fence could be moved into 300 feet, and you know you'd get away with it. But the Whips played the rest of the 1970 season and all of 1971 because they didn't draw all that well and eventually had to move.
There you go. You and Smitty could have a good visit.
Absolutely. He and I can talk about a lot of stuff that went on in Winnipeg.
Robert Kazakoff, he's one of my racing guys, writes in. He's the guy that wrote Rod Peterson Show in the dirt on the tailgate of his truck. Did you see that picture?
I did see that, actually.
That's Robert. Okay. He says, Stamps, you were right. Winnipeg Jets lost in Calgary, took the W.
Yep.
Oh, here we go. Back. Isn't it nice to be talking, razzing about sports and not talking really COVID pandemic crap?
I'm thrilled to pieces. I can hardly wait. I mean, I'm glad. I actually had a chance at work to start doing up daily sports schedules of games.
Yeah.
Not just for the pro leagues that are playing in the hubs and all, but even for the local leagues, like local softball, local baseball, local soccer, whatever the case may be. The Wyand Group Raceway is actually starting up tomorrow night in Saskatoon for the first time. They're only allowed to have 150 people there because of COVID restrictions, but at least it is able to get going tomorrow, and they'll have 8 dates starting tomorrow and going on through September through the Ultimate Enduro Race.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very positive.
Very positive.
I'm positive, Les, that I'll see you on the golf course.
You will.
In a little over an hour's time.
It's going to be fun. I can hardly wait.
Thanks for coming on.
Not a problem.
That's right. Dupes will join us for overtime, and we'll get a sports update. We'll talk about tonight's CFL Sim, sports on tap. It's all ahead. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's gonna be the same. Your vehicle's gonna look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Into overtime we go. I was in the middle of a tweet. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pull up my score app while I'm tweeting at the same time. We're going to find out.
All right.
Hang on. Sports update here for Wendell Clark's. The Toronto Maple Leafs and Edmonton Oilers face elimination tonight. Pierre-Luc Dubois completed his hat trick in overtime last night as Columbus stormed back from a three-goal deficit to beat Toronto 4-3. The Jackets take a 2-1 lead into Game 4 today at 6 p.m. Eastern. DuPont's not worried. Edmonton trails Chicago 2-1 in their series and hit the ice tonight. That is 4:45 Mountain. The Montreal Canadiens and Vancouver Canucks can win their respective qualifying series today. Meanwhile, Montreal holds a 2-1 lead over Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who face off this afternoon 4 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Sask time out here Mountain. Vancouver has a 2-1 lead over Minnesota and can finish off the Wild tonight. Woohoo! What a bonanza.
I know. Awesome.
The Raptors are looking for their 8th straight win tonight when they face the division rival Boston Celtics. Toronto can clinch the Atlantic Division title and the second seed in the Eastern Conference by defeating the Celtics. The Toronto Blue Jays are in Fenway Park tonight. Last night, Nick Markakis had a walk-off homer in the 9th to lift Atlanta over Toronto 4-3. And Jason Day is alone atop the leaderboard heading into the second round of the PGA Championship today. Brooks Koepka is right behind him, going after a third straight PGA Championship title. This update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. Not going to lie, kind of wish I was there today, because you know why.
Oh, yeah.
It's Fish and Chips. Fish Friday. Best fish and chips you've ever had, or I'll eat my shorts if they're not. Doyle did Facebook me the other day, the manager, and he said there was some guys in from Cochrane, and they asked for the fish and chips, courtesy of this show.
Whoa.
So I said, you're welcome, Doyle. So if you're in the Saskatoon area, head down there. It's the featured item at $13.99. Sports on tap. Les got me thinking. He was doing sports schedules now. I just kind of ran it down for the NHL. Actually, I just ran down the whole sports update, actually, for what's going on. Raptors, Blue Jays, a ton of NHL games. Sports on Tap is back for the tap.
Big time.
Rochdale and Pasqua here in Regina. I don't know what to say about that other than the CFL Sim is tonight. Some people were writing in and wondering about it. 7 p.m. Mountain, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, BC Lions, virtual game. You can watch it right here. Where's the pizza coming from tonight?
TBD.
Okay. Is that a new place?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got?
Meaning we'll see where I drive by on the way to the studio.
Meaning, what do we got gift cards for around here?
Exactly.
So we do the business of the week every Friday. It's brought to you by Direct West and the MySask 411 app. And you probably don't know what we're doing this week, do you?
I don't. I'm in the dark.
We're doing Krugo.
Oh, awesome.
We're doing Krugo. Krugo Fest is ongoing right now. We had Kirk Morrison in here earlier on this week from Krugo. He's the president and CEO. And they're putting on, it's basically a fundraiser for the food bank, and also the entertainment industry. Let's say what it is. And a lot of local businesses, the Doubletree, Legacy Catering, Jess Moskaluk. We went to the show last night, sold out at the Doubletree. Krugo's putting it on. They're the ticket buying app, events app, if you will. Very similar to Seat Giant, right?
Yeah.
Because I've been in, poking around on the app. It's cool. Saturday night, Corb Lund. What did you call him? The Angry Albertan?
No, Hurtin' Albertan.
The Hurtin' Albertan. Okay. There could be a lot of them after today.
Yes.
And then next week, the Sheepdogs, Friday, Saturday at Krugo Fest. They are a startup. They're a tech company. Krugo app. And Kirk Morrison is the president and CEO. That's our featured business of the week. Why not? Because they're doing great things.
Absolutely.
Clark actually came up with it, not me.
Good job.
But I did say, and we didn't promote it as much as I would have liked, that we want people to submit businesses for business of the week. I mentioned it one time, and then we never followed up on it. So Clark saved our bacon today with coming up with Krugo, and it's cool. Anything you want to say about that?
No, it's awesome. I've known Kirk for a little while. He's doing great things, and it looks awesome. It looks like a great time over at the Doubletree.
So oh, yeah.
I think that's really innovative that they saw an opportunity there, and they were able to execute it.
You weren't actually sitting here. It was earlier on in the show, because you're an idea guy, and I sort of am too. But I was sitting there last night on the balcony of the 10th, 11th floor, looking down at the stage going, this was somebody's idea at some point. And maybe it was Kirk Morrison's from Krugo, I'm not sure, but they thought, we could put a stage on top of the parkade and have everybody on the side watch from the balcony. And then it happened.
That's
it just
cool.
Seems like they waved a wand.
I know.
It's easy to do these things, right? It's so easy.
Yeah. Easy.
Just snap of the fingers. So they're doing a lot of work. Paul Drouin, do you know him?
Oh, I've heard of him.
He's writing in live from Mortlach, Saskatchewan. What's he doing out in Mortlach?
Probably some business.
All right, doing business?
I'm not sure, though.
And Roxanne from Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions writes, and she says, can't wait to watch The Sim on the outdoor theater tonight.
Whew.
They watch it at home. We got the Lions and the Riders. And Riders favored by 1.5. Ricky's excited, too. Ricky the Iguana just poked his head out. All the Week 9 games, we came up with the betting lines today, you and I, in the rollout.
Yep.
Toronto's at Calgary this week. Calgary's favored by 2.5. Montreal's at Hamilton. Ticats favored by 1.5 in a battle of 2-5 teams. And Winnipeg is at Ottawa. Paul LaPolice looking for his first win. He wants to get the red Gatorade shower tonight and beat the Blue Bombers. Do you think the Bombers will be wearing their rings on the sidelines tonight at TD Place Stadium? I would.
Yeah, why not, right? Just rub it in.
I think they should.
Wear it to the coin toss. You know, when you walk up to the coin toss?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Ottawa.
Just go to shake hands.
That's right.
A little heavy.
That would be very Winnipeg-ish. Bombers favored by 5.5. You like that, eh, Les? Okay, we're done. This has been a very fun show, a very fun week. Thanks to all of you for making it possible. And we will see you back here Friday at 10 a.m. Mountain on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.